Welcome again to the Our Knowing Our Father series. It is so exciting to just journey with you and to trust the Lord that He will show us who He is as a good Father. You know, there's a song, He is a good, good Father. And it's who He is, you know, and what He's doing is flows out of His goodness, out of His love. And just to recap what we've done in the past couple of sessions, or just to look at where we are, how do we find ourselves and where do we find ourselves? We looked at how big is our God in session one, God's heart revealed through Jesus in session number two, God's heart for you and me, session number three, what every child needs from dad. We did that in session number four, the father wound, and that's what we started with in session number five and number six. And so we asked some questions in especially the previous two sessions and some tasks that you had to do. What will cause a father wound, the four roots of a father wound. And today specifically, we're going to look at the fruits of a father wound and dealing with shame. And then also remind ourselves of what God's heart is for the wounded and the broken. Remember, Jesus said, I've promised you peace. And that peace at the center of that word, shalom peace, is wholeness. Not just an absence of trouble or for us just to be happy or to be nice, but actually to be whole as people. Not just to go to heaven one day, but to actually live in His Zoe life today. And that's what His perfect love does. You know, in 1 John 4, it says that His perfect love cast out every fear. His perfect love cast out every fear. Wow, what a promise. You know, there's no place for fear when we understand His unconditional love and His love towards us. I made a statement in the previous session, and this is it. Broken people breed broken families, and broken families breed broken communities that breed broken nations. Hurt people hurt people. It's not the statement I made, but I read it somewhere. Hurt people will hurt people. And sometimes we see just a multiplication of a curse on a land of brokenness. You know, I said we traveled through some African nations, and then you'll clearly see what nations have been in war and which ones have not. There's just much more peace and joy and happiness, and just in a place like Malawi that's never experienced war. You know, the type of person is just so different than some other countries where they've been just broken, and there's been a lot of fathers that's been removed. And we know that one of the causes for the community to struggle so much has started with the Industrial Revolution, when so many fathers, where it used to be the father and the son was spending a lot of time together, you learned your trade from your father. Lots of surnames have been, you know, like Squin Winkel, you know, it's like to have a clean shop, you know, the surnames were made out of the trade you had. But with the Industrial Revolution and with mining and a lot of stuff and with work today, there's so little time that fathers actually spend and mothers at home. And that's why we see these roots of rejection and the fear of failure and shame that would sometimes come into a family, and just brokenness through divorce. So let's look at some of the fruits of the father wound. And this is session number seven. It will many times cause a great low self-esteem. There'll be no self-worth. There'll be the fear of man, where people really can't really even communicate properly with people. There'll be no boundaries, physical, emotional, and spiritual boundaries. And we looked at that in the last session. Then also where we seek love and attention and affirmation, acceptance, those things that every child needs, we seek that from other people. And sometimes if there's been a hurt or abuse, there's bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, and rebellion. That's the other side, when there's a reaction towards the wounds and the hurts. And I just want to pray that the Lord, as we speak through these things, that we will not just try to change the fruit, but that He will heal us in our hearts and the wounds that make us react. You know, it's like when you sometimes press on somebody's wound, there's a massive reaction, or when, you know, the whole body reacts to that wound so that you don't get close to it. But we need healing. And a beautiful word that was used in the Old Testament was the oil it was called oil that came from Gilead. And that's why a name for God is the balm of Gilead, you know, where he brings healing. And it's an oil that was very specific. You know, it wasn't just the oil that would cover on the surface, but the oil would actually penetrate the wound and then heal from the inside out. And that's what God wants to do. God wants to come and take the roots out, everything, and restore us to a place of complete wholeness, not perfection, but wholeness. So let me just pray as we talk through these things that the Lord will do that in our hearts and in our lives. So Father, we just invite you as we speak about these things, that you become the balm of Gilead, that you will penetrate every wound just gently, Lord, and heal all the hurt and the pain and the bitterness and the things, Lord, from our hearts and from our lives, so that we can surrender and trust to you, Lord, completely. Lord, just Holy Spirit, you the healer, you the one that does and will be doing that work in us. Lord, it's not just head knowledge. For some of us, Lord, it's been decades of being trapped and being slaves to rejection and issues in our lives. But Lord, we just say, come, be the healer. You are the gentle healer. Lord, save us, deliver us, heal us. Lord, your arm is not too short to heal and to touch and to deliver. Deliver us and touch us in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. So that's some of the fruits. Some people refer to these fruits as also the fruits of an orphan spirit. You know, if you deal with orphans, there's it's almost like a hole in their emotions. They just keep on looking and seeking and sort of like they never get full. You know, it's like some people are affection prone or rejection prone or offense prone. It's like always the same thing. It's like a massive big hole that just takes stuff in. And so some of the fruits of the orphan spirit, maybe you can identify with some of them, is striving, jealousy, competition, performance, self-pity. That's a big thing. Self-centeredness, pride. You know, I think all of us can go and probably tick on some of these things, you know. Not a team player, loneliness. Feels like you feel like an outsider. You're always suspicious of other people. You really struggle to receive love especially. You feel unworthy, and also depression and anxiety. Do you know that the world, especially in the West, is suffering under great depression and oppression because of their heaviness, because of that rootedness of, you know, just being hurt, being feeling like there's no part to actually know God and walk in that freedom. The next slide talks about this curse that runs on families and the breakdown of covenant families. You know, there's a lot of things there on the list. It talks about immaturity and self-centeredness. There's no value. You don't feel valued, or you feel you have a destiny. There's no, you know, fear of God. There's no covenant. You don't understand. It's always like, if you look at the cycles of your life, there's just breakdown. There's just like broken relationships. There's just hurt. There's just cycle after cycle of no love, affirmation, no intimacy. You really struggle with intimacy, mediocrity, inability to rule yourself. And so these are all fruits that we need to deal with by saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to be a changed being. I want to be whole, not perfect, but whole. And I'll probably say that 50 times. God is not looking for perfection. I was reading about David the other day again and just realized, like, wow, this man had a rough life. But when you look at how he found refuge in God, how he found strength in God, how God was his tower of strength, you know, and he had a rough life. You know, there was so much bloodshed. His own children try to kill him. Sure. Another issue we need to talk about before we come to this whole issue of shame is just divorce, because we live in a fatherless generation. It's so easy to divorce, and it's the children of a divorced home that really suffers, you know. There's violent effects of divorce on children. And I've seen it so many times over the years dealing with some students that come out of divorced homes. You know, there's just no ability to take responsibility for your life. When you need to make decision, it just goes like, just the passivity, just like a numbness in our lives. And these are all fruits that are produced over cycles and curses over our family lines. And so the Lord wants to break that, because there's anger, there's rage, there's violence sometimes. Shy away from commitment, especially a fear of being remarried or of marriage or failing in marriage. There's like just no success, health, or confidence. Sometimes it goes over into addiction, shock, grieving, rejection, and fear of abandonment. You know, it will take time to heal, you know, all these things. But the amazing thing is that's why we're talking through this. And I want to ask you to, when you have time, and even after this course is finished, go through some of this stuff, prayerfully take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I identify these fruits in my life and I want you to break it over my life. I want you to heal me, Lord. I want to declare that my family and my family lines are going to be different. And so, because all these things, you know, are fruits. And just trying to pluck off the fruit is not going to change the essence, the wholeness, you know, because you can say, hey, I'm taking off the apples off the apple tree, but it's not going to turn into pears tomorrow. You actually need to go to the root, and that's why it is a process. It's a process of walking out your salvation with the Lord. So remember, because it's not God that wants to change you and get you to be perfect. It's simply because Jesus died so that we can have life and life in abundance. So when we talk about shame, and this is one of the big fruits of this rejection, the fear of failure, it's not just about doing things wrong. You know, it actually means there's something wrong with me. And do you know how many people walk around with that big issue? Sure, when you read the cover page of their lives, then it actually says, Suzette, something wrong with me. I am a mistake. Not I'm doing wrong things, but in essence, in my being. And that's why we're going to talk about identity and what it means to be in Christ. Because it's so beautiful. When you come to Christ, you are a new creation. The Saul is a Paul. The Simon is a Peter. That's how God has made you. And he wants to bring you back to that place. But, you know, it's not just I've done wrong things. It actually says, I am wrong. I'm not just doing wrong things. Romans chapter 12 verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. In Philippians 2 verse 3, it says, in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Put other people's interest above yourself. And so, to have dishonor or shame means to belittle value. And that causes shame. So if I take something and I belittle the value, I take away from the value of that thing, it will always cause shame. Talking about the person. And so that's what the devil wants to do. That's what's happening in our lives when people use abusive languages and he tries to break you down, or people have been saying, you will never amount to anything, or you're not like your brother, or you're not like your sister, or you're just an ugly woman and you'll never make it. You know, those words causes great rejection, but then it flows over to a deep-rooted shame. And so you'll see there are so many people that either now, remember what we said with rejection, I either try to be like this, oh, you know, I'm the party of the hour. I'm the one in charge, you know, I'm the likable one. And other people just withdraw. Other people just like say, hey, I'm going to do it. I'm going to become independent so that nobody can hurt me again. But Jesus placed value on our lives. And so this is why scripture talks about having an honoring culture. And it's so beautiful in the East, you know, people get this right. And I remember being in South Korea. We came to this big church and we were walking around, and then the pastor heard, you know, and it's a massive church, you know, the pastor heard that we're there and immediately assigned people to take us out for lunch. And so we're sitting at lunch and we just like, you know, they heard I'm a pastor, didn't know them. We just contacted through somebody else. And eventually we're sitting at this lunch and the guy, you know, we talk and says, what do you do? And what do you do? And the guy says, no, he's the head of the army, you know, in South Korea. You know, I'm thinking like, sure. He was in Singapore, he was the head of the, and I think like, wow, you know, here's this massive guy sitting here with us, and the pastor didn't just decide, oh, say thank you, he actually sent his best to go and have lunch with us, and everything was on the house, it was a great lunch, all that stuff, and I walked away from that day. We came back to the church again, and there this old lady comes out, and she could barely walk, she walked across the street to the supermarket, bought us ice creams, came back, gave it to us. I heard you're visiting our country, you know, and I just wanted to bless you with this, you know. Later on, we found out it was the pastor's mother, you know. And I was so shocked by the action of the people in Singapore. But I realized that they have an honoring culture. And an honoring culture says, I give preference. I give value to somebody else. I place value on my relationship. I place value on you as a person. The fact that you are coming here all the way from another country, you know, and isn't that beautiful? And that's why sometimes, especially in the West, we struggle with honor because we have a shame-based culture. We try to break each other down. We become suspicious of each other. And that's why we need a healing, you know, between guilt, I made a mistake. Shame, I am a mistake. Shame is a strong sense of hopelessness. You feel isolated from the world. You experience that you are a disappointment for your parents, for the people around you. And sometimes people say you're an embarrassment to us, you know. The curse of shame brings, you know, a shame-based identity. And sometimes even over a whole culture where there's not honor but shame. Little value. I want to crush you so that you have no value. Isaiah 54 verse 4 says, fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and the reproach of your widowhood you will not remember anymore. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? In Isaiah 54, it talks about, sing, O barren one, for your time has come. You know, God wants to break barrenness over our lives because shame causes a barrenness, causes a dryness, causes an emptiness. And sometimes we have this whole shame-based culture. And you'll see that because you can even see it physically manifest in many nations, where some nations, they just, people don't want to have kids anymore because it's too much of a trouble. It's too much, you know, because we become so entitled, individualistic in such a way. But look at the nations where there's an honoring culture. It's like amazing value, community. We place value on our relationships more than value on our tasks or what we need to do or can't do. So the Lord says, Isaiah 54, go read it. You know, he wants to break shame over us. Because if we're born in shame, we have a scarred identity. We have, you know, a destiny that's caused by conditional love and by abuse. So fear of rejection, we live in the past, we're bound by bitterness, we have a appetite for recognition, power, we become volatile, unpredictable, rash, impulsive. We just want the next big quick fish. We rush into this. We do this. I just want to be satisfied. I want to be fulfilled right now, you know. So we see almost a culture and nations that are just there's just like, hey, we don't care, we don't put honor on other people's lives, we really don't, you know. And that's where God wants to heal us as individuals, as families, and as nations, where we have respect for and dignity for life and honor. And he needs to heal us of that, because otherwise our relationships, the next slide says, it is marked by conflict and strife. We have an inability to trust God and other people. We're driven by irrational and emotional needs, you know. Shame means worthless, wrong. And the opposite of shame is honor and glory. It means valuable and great. Now, obviously, we're not great, but God is great. And that's why to worship him, to break shame over your life, you need to start worshiping him. You need to experience his glory, his presence. Because once you experience who he is, he begins to add value to your life. He begins to show you who you are in Christ. Not that you're special or I'm special, because we're not good. But in Christ, we're amazing. In Christ, we have value. We have worth. We have glory. And then we can also show glory, the weight of his presence to the world out there that is so ashamed. You know, and Paul actually said it about the gospel. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, now Jesus was shamed. You can go read some of these scriptures. He was born out of wedlock. He hanged naked on the cross. And the Bible says he carried all our shame upon him. Go read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him despised the shame. When you despise something, you look down at it, you break it completely. You say, no more will I allow this. And yet he was hanging naked on the cross. He was shamed publicly in a way that, whoa, you know, that we could not even imagine. But he decided, because there was a joy that was set before him. The joy was to endure the cross, because he could see that he was not just taking us to heaven. He wanted to honor us with the love of God. He wanted to honor us by showing us the glory of God and the fullness of God. And in that process, we can be set free. We're different creatures because we've been valued by God. God has placed a value on our lives by sending his greatest asset, his son, to die for us, to pay a price that you cannot pay with money. And that is the precious blood of Jesus. And the challenge with us in the West is we don't speak about the blood of Jesus because we don't realize the value of the blood of Jesus. The Bible says that value that the blood of Jesus brings is a witness in the heavenlies of what Christ has done. It witnesses that Jesus is he's a witness. He's a mediator of the new covenant. But what speaks mostly in heaven is the blood of Christ, the value that Jesus, that the Father paid through Jesus for your and my life. And that's crazy to understand that. That's crazy to know that that curse then can be broken over your life. Because he says, I value you. Yo, I choose you before you choose me. And so as we end this session, I want to pray that God will break that over our lives. Because so many people are just so, you know, stepping into the wrong identity. We're shame-based in so many ways. And I want to read this scripture, and I want to pray it over us. And you'll see that it's under the heading, God's Heart for the Broken, in Psalm 34, verse 17 to 19. It says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. That's going to be the center of my prayer, as I pray that God will break that shame, that he will reveal to you the value. You know, we've put on the WhatsApp groups this week, you know, oh, how he loves us, that song. I want you to go and listen to it again. Oh, how he loves us. You know, he is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane, you know, just amazing God's love to break that shame as we trust him, as we open up. So I'm going to pray for us that as the righteous, meaning we're in Christ, not in ourselves, that we'll know that God hears. So let's pray together, and let's ask him in this week as we finish here with session number 7, that we'll really say, Lord, I want to break that culture of shame. I want to ask you to do that in my life. Lord, show me the value that you have placed on me. And then I want you to go and take communion. Just sit there and say, Lord, reveal to me how much this price is that you have paid to value me, to honor me. And now, Lord, the rest of my life, I want to honor you. I want to place value, worth on you by worshiping you, by sharing with the world what the glory of God means in my life. Because now I am valuable, and I want to tell the rest of the world, broken in shame, that they can be free. So, Father, sure, in this session, it's really deep things that we bring to you, because for some of us, Lord, it's our nation that you need to deliver from this evil, from the lie, Lord, from the pit of hell, of shame, of the wrong identity, Lord, of the things that we think, that we feel, that we see. Lord, we have a shame-based culture, but we ask that you will deliver us and set us free from shame. Lord, that deep-rootedness of feeling unworthy. But we want to thank you for the blood of Jesus and the value of the cross, the value, Lord, the testimony of the blood that speaks better things than that of Abel, a testimony of the fact that you despise the shame, that you have a joy that was set before you. And so, Lord, today we pray Psalm 34, Lord, that the righteous will cry out and the Lord will always hear. Lord, that you will deliver us out of our troubles. And Lord, that you are near to those who have a broken heart. So we bring our brokenness, we bring the lies to you, Lord, and you save those who have a contrite heart. You are near and you save. Lord, and even when the afflictions have been many, Lord, for the righteous, the Lord will deliver them out of them all, not just some. So, Lord, come and deliver us. Stretch forth your hand, Lord, where people feel invaluable, Lord, where they feel corrupted, abused. Come and heal. Come and restore. Come and bring your wholeness so that we can walk in the freedom of Christ. Lord, for who the Son has set free, those are free indeed. And we submit to you in this week that you'll speak to us and show us the value of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, all shame is removed. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.